Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Sinner's Sunday. You may have noticed the lack of music. That's because Brother Dre and the Lariats couldn't make it to the chapel today. The smoke is too thick, and many roads are closed, and in some areas there's no power. If you haven't heard, Los Angeles is burning. Over 70,000 acres, nearly 200 homes, some schools, a movie ranch, restaurants, countless automobiles, and saddest of all, a couple of fatalities so far. This on the heels of a horrific mass shooting. 12 people, mostly college kids, killed at a country western bar by a lone psycho. A hero cop, a guy named Ron Hellis, charged into that bar alone, with no body armor and no backup, and shot it out with a madman. When some mourners returned home after attending a memorial service for Sergeant Ron, they discovered their homes were gone, consumed by the fires. People who have not spent time in L.A. have some difficulty wrapping their minds around the fires that plague it just about every autumn. Much of the city is built on hills, and despite the fact that it's the desert, sagebrush and all kinds of vegetation grows very fast. It's dry, and then one spark or a lit cigarette, or quite often some sick pyromaniac deliberately sets a fire and it's on. Add the famed Santa Ana winds to whip those flames at sustained speeds of 30 or 40 miles an hour with three-digit gusts, and now you're talking hell. Wherever you live in the world, imagine a wall of fire racing so fast you can't outrun it, sometimes even in a vehicle. A wall of fire that'll jump across a concrete freeway, 10 lanes wide, like it was a mud puddle. Fires that create their own weather, with updrafts and tornadoes of flame. Yesterday, I made a post on Facebook saying it was the worst I'd seen in my many years in L.A., and it didn't get much reaction, but then I posted a picture I took near my home, and suddenly, everybody got it. I'll post that picture at thatlarryshow.com, and you can see for yourself. But this episode isn't about me. I'm okay. This is about those 12 kids shot up and the 250,000 people evacuated who are wondering if they have a home to return to. People cannot find vacant hotel rooms any closer than 30 miles away. So public school gymnasiums are carpeted with folks sleeping on their floors. The lucky kids who made it out of that bar alive and the evacuees who fled the fire in time all probably are saying the same thing. Thank God. So you see all this suffering, concentrated in a very small time frame in the same vicinity, mass killings and destruction of so many families and homes, and many are wondering, is some evil entity pulling levers of devastation? And why all this damage and sorrow inflicted on this small part of the world at the same time? I'll bet there are Gaia nuts out there saying, well, Los Angeles deserves it. Man was not meant to live here anyway. It's a desert. The water was stolen from upstate, and this is Gaia striking back. And there are plenty of others saying, oh, good. All that Hollywood scum in their mansions getting burned out. They deserve it. I kind of see that argument a little. If deals are made with the devil, Hollywood would be the busiest exchange. But back to thank God. It really is an odd phrase, deeply, deeply rooted in the Old Testament concept of a vengeful God, right? That God was always kicking our asses if we got out of line. Fire and brimstone, Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah's flood, plagues and pestilence, famine, cyclones, tsunamis, and more. But if we thank God that we were spared, aren't we indicting those who were not? Doesn't that phrase imply the innocent victims of any calamity maybe were not so innocent? It's crazy. Or if not guilty, then just they were ignored by God, huh? The flip side of thank God I'm alive is, if you're not alive, God mustn't like you. For many who perish, their loved ones will say, God called him or her home early because he had other plans for them. One of the shooting victims a few days ago here in L.A. had actually survived the Las Vegas massacre a year ago. Did his family say, "Thank God"? Probably. Wonder what they're saying now. That "God has other plans" notion is really puzzling. As if God has a sweatshop in paradise that needed 20 small kids to do piecework, so that's why those ones had to die at Sandy Hook. They'll probably find charred horses up in the mountains when the smoke clears, they usually do. Does God need a team of Palominos to pull his new chariot? No matter which way we try to make sense of senseless occurrences, we're going to bump our noses on illogic. But we won't stop trying to find order and reason within chaos and insanity, because that's the way we're hardwired. One woman being interviewed on the news was choking back tears as she recounted how her home and business were destroyed, and she used the phrase, "Ask the universe." You hear that a lot these days, the universe. You can understand why people refer to the universe as if it's some kind of supreme being, because on balance, the universe operates with remarkable precision and predictability, or at least our little corner of it does. This sphere rotates at 1,000 miles an hour while hurtling on a steady course at 67,000 miles an hour, without thrusters or GPS. And all the other spinning balls participate in the same celestial square dance and never lose their way, which results in great symmetry here, doesn't it? Day and night, the tides, the changing in duration of the seasons, and so on. The quantum physics guys say they see even more precision in the behavior of subatomic particles. When we see outrageous disruptions of that precision and order, when a psycho shoots up a bar or a wall of fire blows through 70,000 acres, we'll go, "Hey, that's not supposed to happen." And we can't process the illogic of it all, especially when events are so tragic and break hearts and lives into small pieces that can never be reassembled. We tend to liken our lives to jigsaw puzzles, always trying to make the pieces fit together so we can see a clear picture and a path. But a jigsaw puzzle is two-dimensional. Trying to figure out the big picture is more like trying to carry smoke in a soup bowl. Kind of futile. Back in episode 88, a listener asked me to answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And I suppose that's where we are right now in Los Angeles. The answer is, we're just not as smart as we think. All our achievements during our relatively brief tenure on this planet may be impressive to us, but God probably looks at a rocket launch or the Hadron Collider with the same polite indulgence we do when a toddler yells, "Hey, watch this," and then stands on one leg or picks his nose. Which might be why prayer is a good idea. Whether a prayer is answered or not is anyone's guess, but it is a huge step in the acquisition of wisdom and humility. Because the essence of all prayer is an admission that our knowledge is puny and our power is negligible. Every prayer should probably have a foreword that says, "Hey God, I have no idea what I'm doing, but..." There are no masters of the universe because there is only one master of the universe. The Hawkings and the deGrasse Tysons and their ilk are so undeservedly venerated by our nutty culture. Anyone who thinks scientists have a better idea about God or no God or the meaning of life, well, that person is mistaken, big time. And where we come up even shorter is in divining God's motives. We have no idea. As kids, we do things our parents ask of us because we are aware somewhere that they love us and know more than we do. Which is why I suppose many great theologians use that phrase, God's children. We really are a bunch of nose-picking tots. relatively speaking. So as LA continues to burn, I could not begin to raise the pomposity to lead anyone in prayer. But I might ask you to maybe say some yourself for the families of those 12 victims of the madman and the thousands more devastated by these fires. It's been a crappy week in LA. No one deserved any of this. Well, maybe a few Hollywood weasels. And all those incredibly gutsy firemen and cops trying to save people and their homes. Wow. Yesterday I watched choppers weaving in and out of the smoke, dropping Fozcheck and water bombs, and their buddies are on the ground eating smoke. Let's pray for those guys too. They're fantastic. And thanks to all of you who asked if I was okay via email and social media, I really appreciate your thinking of me. As of this moment, they are predicting fierce Santa Ana winds resuming today, Sunday, November 11. Things can change in an instant, and when they say evacuate, it's no joke. So I hope to be with you Tuesday for the regular show, but I can't guarantee it. Kind of weird to have your short-term agenda set by the wind, but that's how it is. Check my homepage at thatlarryshow.com for some incredible imagery from this fire. You will not believe your eyes. And thanks for hanging with me, everyone, and God bless.